Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911. Jesus 911. First responder radio. Retired cop. Car. Retired nurse. How are you, my love?
Oh no.
Fantastic.
I hear myself. Ah, there. Now I hear myself. Two man car. My name is Jess Romero. Dr. Dan Schneider. Jesse Romero. We're on Soul Patrol. Our goal with this program is to help people fall in love with God, save souls, and slay error. And we also want to give you the tools, the weapons of mass instruction based on Catholic teaching so that you can stay protected from the enemy. Dan, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Good morning. I'm 10-8. How are you?
Dan, can I hear Dan?
Yeah, you got me or no?
Yeah, I got you, Dan. Dan, we got
all right, 10-8 for Jesus.
Amen. That's what I want to hear. Hey. We got an interesting topic here. What I want to do is talk about what's going on in the streets right now, these anarchists, these are Marxists, socialists, communists, BLM and Antifa. And I want to go to the philosophical system that really has energized these groups. It's a philosophical system called Marxism. And the philosopher that gave us this system of class warfare and, you know, this basically... overtaking your enemy through violence. Karl Marx, there's a good article by Dr. Paul Kanger, who's a Catholic, by the way, and he talks about communism's long march of death, deception, and infiltration. He writes, it aims to vigorously demonstrate how deeply and directly the father of communism was inspired by the father of lies. Some of the things the article says, Dr. Kanger tallies the Marxist death toll at approaching 100 million in the 20th century. I mean, he says, what sort of warped idea can unleash such agony upon the human race? And Dr. Kanger also looks to the realm of the spirit, and here's where you come in, Dan, because this is your expertise. He says that there's a spiritual explanation to better understand the diabolical ideology of Marxism, and he also talks about the way Marxism is very, and this type of worldview, they're very fascinated by death. And not only death, the guillotine, the article says. They're very fascinated by the guillotine. Having read this, and by the way, also, Dr. Kanger quotes, Karl Marx used to write poetry, and he quotes some of the poetry here. He used to write poetry to Satan before he wrote his Communist Manifesto. He was a poet for Satan. Here's some of the things that Karl Marx writes. He says, quote, the hellish vapors that rise and fill the brain till I go mad and my heart is utterly damaged. See this sword? The Prince of Darkness sold to me. For me, he beats the time and gives the signs. Even more boldly, I play the dance of death. The article's filled with poetry that Karl Marx wrote to Satan. And I'll tell you where he was born a Jew, became a Protestant Christian, lost his faith. Where at? College. He lost his faith in college. And at the age of 23, he professed atheism. And the book's called The Devil and Karl Marx by Dr. Kanger. And he says this one line. He says, it describes as one of the worst modernist and fruitless works of darkness that plagues us to this day, which is communism. Dan, do we see communism in the streets of the United States through Black Lives Matter and Antifa? Are they playing out exactly what Karl Marx wrote philosophically?
It's certainly, yeah, I'm not, my expertise isn't really social, you know, the social sciences, but certainly we see parallels in history viewed through the history of the church, and we see various periods, particularly the French Revolution, where statues of the Blessed Mother was replaced with Our Lady Lady Reason, the battle cry of the Enlightenment, dare to use your reason. So in this appeal to human reason, it inevitably involves the rejection of any church authority. So ultimately, at the end of the day, this is to get to socialism, we have to pass through a period of anarchy, and anarchy, as we've discussed, you know, in other shows, is a rejection of hierarchy, of holy rule, holy order, where we have a state imbued with Christian values. And so once we establish an anarchic state, whereas there is no rule or law, socialism and Marxism, communism, naturally fills that void. And I think we see in some of the leaders, the Bernie, you know, the quote, he quotes this, one a major Bernie organizer as wanting to guillotine the rich. You know, we see, you know, we look at the history of France, we look at the history of Europe, and we think, oh, that'll never happen to us. We look at Central America, the revolutionaries, the banana republics established down there. That can never happen to us. Well, it's happening before our eyes. Now, the church needs to wise up, not associate ourselves with you know, the modern radical progressive left. Again, I, you know,
Dan, even
most
more
people
than that, Dan, even more than that, I'm to the point, I'm saying this is diabolical. Communism is from the devil. It's a diabolical governmental system. And you can see, like Jesus says, you'll know them by their fruits. Communism, all it does is leave a wake of death to the tombs of millions of people. This is what communism leaves. And
this is why I think it was Leo XIII that said you cannot be, or maybe it was Pius the 12th, you cannot be both Roman Catholic and a socialist or communist. They're incompatible with each other. And you're absolutely right. If you look at how does this communism and Marxism look practically, functionally speaking? Well, how did it enter into the body politic in the United States? It came through Saul Alinsky. It's the Saul Alinsky or the Alinsky method that has been adopted by the radical left. And the progressive left have little by little usurped and taken over the Democratic Party and many, you know, Union Democrats, old school middle class Democrats, Hispanic Democrats, et cetera, have been completely pushed out. And in many states, any conservative Democrat whatsoever is being pushed out by their own party. But the Alinsky method is something that was brought on, first heard of with Hillary Clinton and then President Obama, is that what we have was a methodology designed specifically under Luciferian constructs, so much so that his original version of Alinsky's original version of his book was dedicated to Lucifer, the first radical. So we see in radical upheaval, Marxist communism, and now as it gets nuanced for a new age and Saul Alinsky, we see this taking over the American political scene and a radical expression. Things that we've never seen in this country before is now taking place. Things that we only saw and read about in magazines and history books in other countries.
Dan, let me quote Bernie Sanders, senior field organizer. You mentioned it in passing. The article says this: during the 2020 Democratic primary season, Martin Weisgerber, a paid senior field organizer for Democratic Party presidential candidate and self-described socialist Bernie Sanders, he claimed this on video. It's on YouTube. He says that it was time to guillotine the rich. Martin Weisgerber was videotaped saying that he was a communist and was in contact with groups that planned to hold mass yellow vest protests in the streets of the United States as they did in France. And he's quoted here saying, "I'm ready to start tearing bricks up and start fighting. I'll straight up get armed. I'm ready for the revolution." Dan, as I look at what's happening in the inner cities with these millennials that are malformed Marxists, and most of them are probably college students or college graduates. This is the type of product that colleges give us these days. It reminds me of a quote as I watched the television. I talked to my boys who are street cops and are seeing this night after night after night. It reminds me of a quote from St. Francis of Assisi. Back in the 13th century, here's what it says, quote, "Satan takes perverse pleasure in inciting people against one another and causing dissensions and divisions." St. Bonaventure told about how one day St. Francis of Assisi went to the city of Arezzo. It had long been subject to civil factions and was close to destroying itself. Francis could see the demons dancing joyfully on the walls of the city, fueling a flame of hatred against the hearts of the people with one another. So Francis called Brother Sylvester, a man of dove-like simplicity, and commanded him, "Go to the gate of the city. There, in the name of Almighty God, command the demons, in virtue of holy obedience, to leave immediately." Sylvester hurried to obey and cried out in a loud voice, "All you evil spirits gathered together in this place, I command you in the name of Almighty God and of his servant Francis, get out of here." No sooner had he uttered these words and the quarreling voices were stilled, the people's angry passions were calmed, brother ceased to fight against brother, and peace was restored to the city. The pride and jealousy of the demonic spirits had threatened to ruin the city, but the wisdom of humble Francis saved it from destruction. Dan, as I watch what these young people are doing from our cities, my eyes see beyond what I can see on television. I can see them engulf. I can see the city, a ring of demons right over them. And as I came across this quote, I said, I'm not crazy. This is exactly what St. Francis saw. Dan, is there an overlay of the diabolical in these riots?
Well, I think anywhere you have division, there's a diabolic. And anywhere you have the cry for so-called equality, I'm not talking about equality of persons, but a demand for a socialist equality, you're going to find Luciferian constructs behind it. The very word demon, the diabolo or diabolo, means to cast between, to divide, and to slander. Our politics have fallen the Alinsky method. Rules for Radicals is the name of his book. And part of that, the very essence of it, is to slander your opponent, is to draw slander to them, and therefore to divide.
You're listening to DJ's 911 Two-Man Car. We're talking about the riots, communism, socialism, and the diabolical. We'll be right back here, Jesus 911, where Jesus is Lord.
Genesis 1:27 says, "God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them." According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in his image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. Here's where we give you guys weapons of mass instruction. And just, Dan, I just want to just mention, I want to give a shout out to that incredible nun Sister Deedy, she addressed the Republican convention. What an incredible resume she had. She was a soldier for 30 years. She was a physician, and now she's a nun. And I like the way, Dan, the way she ended her speech at the RNC convention. She says, "I'm not only pro-life, I'm pro-eternal life." Hey, Dan, she's fellow Army, man. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's terrific. I mean, we have a fellow soldier, a fellow officer. She's a surgeon. We also had Lou Holtz, Coach Lou Holtz, who was the coach at Notre Dame when I was there. Tremendous individual. An amazing person that's formed so many young people who just his players just absolutely they would take a bullet for him. They absolutely loved him. So those two were very many powerful. But the common powerful talks and speeches there. But the powerful connection with Sister Deedy is with the pro-life movement. I'm not just pro-life. I'm pro-eternal life. And we have to keep that in mind that we are here to save souls. We're here to bring souls to Christ, to bring eternal life to the world. And this is why we get such opposition in our this neo-Marxist society movement within our own culture, which is really fueled by envy and division. In the name of equality, what it really does is creates even further division among in this case, you know, classes of individuals. I thought her talk was powerful. And then in the end, she holds the rosary up. Imagine the rosary being proclaimed at the White House and then the Ave Maria being sung in the concluding ceremony. I tell you, Our Lady will take this very seriously. And we need to we have a pattern for us. We must invoke the mother of Jesus to assist us in our country in our time of trouble. Think about how most people haven't caught this, but the end of the French Revolution, we just celebrated their feast day last month. The Sisters of Compiègne in France, Carmelite sisters, were led up the guillotine for their faith, and each one of them approached their mother superior and said permission to die, mother. So in their dying in holy obedience, only in obedience do they die, and then they kissed the statue of Our Lady of Mount Carmel and they mounted the guillotine. Seven or eight of them were guillotined, and within 6 weeks the revolution was over by the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice of the martyrs. And this is what ended the revolution. It's going to take perhaps a non-bloody on our part. God help us if it becomes bloody. But we must all have that level of commitment and asking permission to die, mother. And we all have to bring about a Catholic revolution, a counter-revolution of Catholic faith and morals in our society. And this is what I think it's going to take to end this. It's going to take that level of deep Carmelite type commitment on the part of the lay faithful and the clergy.
Dan, that's a chilling story. I know about it, but I'm glad you reminded the audience about it. That's a chilling story, but that's the ultimate sacrifice. That's uniting yourself totally with Christ on the cross.
And make no mistake, Jesse, in France, they tore down the statues, and it wasn't just iconoclastic where we just don't want any icon separating us from God. This is a destruction of statues, and they didn't just tear down statues. They replaced statues with icons of reason, and they had their own statues that they replaced them with. And in communist Russia, when they outlawed the sacraments, but then they replaced them with marriage rites, baptismal rites, where you were married in the state, baptized into the state. It's an absolute and complete mockery. It isn't just a destruction of the church. It's the complete inversion and diabolic inversion of the church and church authority, which we see expressed in this radical Marxism.
Dan, let me mention something else here. I'm looking up. There's actually a book on Karl Marx. It's called From Christian to Satanist. It's written by Richard Wurmbrand. He spent 14 years in a communist prison in Romania, in the underground church in Romania. And the last 3 years he spent in the prison hospital ward. He's the only person ever to be alive out of that prison hospital ward. But he writes, and his body, by the way, is covered with a lot of torture wounds as a result of being a prisoner. He says, here's a section that he writes in his book about, he says, Why did Marx become a God hater who invented not only one of the worst tools of oppression, which is communism, to Christianity, but also of humanity? And why did Engels become his accomplice? He said the turning point of Engels and Marx, the turning point in both of their lives, occurred at the universities they attended when they learned of a new Christian doctrine called liberal theology. And this turned Marx, this former Christian, into now a God hater. And Marx eventually joined the satanic cult of his closest comrades, socialism and communism. Dan, a lot of the young people that are out there in the streets that are rioting, they're like college-age kids. I mean, the same thing is happening to them, what happened to Marx. Marx lost his faith, and so did Engels in college. Look at what St. John Bosco says about, I just found this quote over the weekend, just doing some research. St. John Bosco says this: the principal trap that the devil sets for young people is idleness. This is the fatal source of all evil. Do not let there be any doubt in your mind that we are born to work. And when we don't, we are out of our element and in great danger of offending God. First tell the devil to rest, then all rest too, says St. John Bosco. Dan, many blue cities, many blue states, Democrats are destroying the economy. They're not letting people go back to work, and they're doing this to try to destroy the best economy created by Donald Trump in 60 years. So what do you have? You have a lot of young people, like St. John Bosco says, they're idle. They got nothing to do. No school, no work. Well, guess what? Then all of a sudden, when they're being funded, these riots are being funded and these movements, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, being funded by billionaires on the left like Soros and Bill Gates. And if you don't have, a school commitment any longer or work, what else is there to do? St. John Bosco just nailed it. The principal trap that the devil sets for young people is idleness. What say you?
No, I absolutely agree. I mean, if you look at the demographic of this group, they're young, workable age people. And I think, again, the old adage, idle hands are the work of the devil. You have to stay busy. Any parent knows that, is that especially young men get into trouble when they're left alone. I knew that as a military officer who had young men under my command, especially in a foreign country in Iraq, guys just get into trouble. We caught guys picking up unexploded ordnances and playing catch with them out of boredom. Guys do really stupid things. And you know this too. Guys do really stupid things when they're left alone. You've got to keep busy. We have to keep working. We were made to work. We're made to work, and we have to keep working. And this is what I love about, you know, the Benedictine, you know, I'm a Benedictine oblate, ora et labora, prayer and work. May our prayer maybe work when we're praying, and when while we're working, may it be an expression of our prayer life. So you mentioned in that other article, the other book, Liberation Theology, what most people don't understand, and here in this country, particularly in the West Coast and the Southwest, liberation theology has ruled supreme for many, many years. The idea is that this came from this liberation theology is Marxism. It's the gospel imbued with Marxist principle. It's a retelling of the gospel according to Marxist principles. And it's very took fire in Central America where it spread. But most people don't understand that this was actually concocted in the German institutions. This is not like this indigenous flow from the people that we want revolution according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is something that was invented in a lab, an academic lab in Germany and Western Europe, and infused into Central America where they felt the pickings were ripe and it worked. And now we're living the effects of it. And if you say, oh, I don't buy that, well, how many times, complete this sentence, ready? Ask any Catholic, complete this sentence. Jesus, you heard this in a homily, Jesus didn't multiply the loaves, he got people to share, right? How many of us heard that in a homily and we look at each other like, really, Father? That's what it means? That's liberation theology. That's an infusion of the gospel with Marxist principles, a very subtle ideology. What this article here that
I've even heard good priests, Dan, I've even heard like pretty good priests like mention it. And I say, Father, where do you get that from? Well, I got that from seminary training. I said, Father, that's false. That's Marxism infused into the gospel.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had this conversation. Really? I mean, yeah. You have to alert some good priest to this. Like, wow, well, that's what we were told in our hermeneutics class.
Absolutely. I know, believe me. With the article, the author says that so Marxism has a bizarre, seductive quality. And it plays upon two different aspects, one positive and one negative. The negative is the vice behind it ultimately is envy. Envy. Envy is a very, very evil, wicked vice. And if you have envy in your soul, it is an evil, wicked vice that has to be rooted out. So envy, the difference between envy and jealousy is very simple. I see you driving down the street and you got a new car and it looks cool. You got a red sports car. I always wish I had that sports car. And I think that's a cool car. I'm jealous of you, Jesse. I'm super jealous of you. I'm going to go back to work and work even harder so that I can achieve my goals and get some of the finer things in this life that I think are worth working for. Or you have a great wife, and I really wish I had a wife like yours. I'm going to go and I'm going to become the man that's going to attract a beautiful woman like that, etc. That's jealousy. That's a holy jealousy that motivates us towards a good. Envy is the opposite. Envy is, he doesn't deserve this. Why does it, it's not fair that Jesse gets this cool red sports car. So if he can't have it, if I can't have it, nobody should have it. And so when you're not looking, I key your car, or I'm envious of your family, of your wife. And so all I do is set about bad mouthing and reviling and detracting against you and her. That's envy and drives towards the negative. And so that's the vice, the operant vice behind this whole political construct that we're falling under now is envy. Envy of the rich. This is why the guillotine.
That's the sin of Satan. Wisdom 2:24. It's in the Bible. That's the sin of Satan, envy. Wisdom 2:24.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the phrase it's from Milton's Paradise Lost, where Satan says, if we can't have heaven, if we can't make hell a heaven, we'll make a heaven of hell. And so that's the second aspect of the diabolic of Marxism, this appeal to egalitarianism. It's an appeal to create a paradise here on earth. And to, you know, theologically, we would call this an over-realized eschatology. And this is what liberation theology does. It takes eschatology, which is something that we're driven towards ultimate fulfillment in heaven, where there is perfection, where there is not even in heaven, by the way, there's an equality. The merit here on earth will gain us a higher merit and a higher proximity, or higher, how should I say it, a higher expressed beatific vision. Even in heaven, it's not equality. But the second driving force is this wanting to make heaven here on earth, which is just not possible. We are meant
for heaven. I hear the music. Jesus 911. We're going to pull somebody over right now. We'll be right back. Two-man car. We're talking about communism, socialism, anarchy. And this is the program where Jesus Christ is Lord. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. It's www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Join VMPR live on YouTube September 12th, 2020 for our latest free conference, The Ultimate Challenge. This exclusive virtual event will feature a brand new talk from Jesse Romero, How Apologetics Brought Me Back to Faith, plus never-before-broadcast video presentations from Dr. Scott Hahn, Father Mitch Pacwa, and the late, great Father Benedict Groeschel. Go to vmpr.org to register now and get ready to face the ultimate challenge.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911 two-man car. We're going to give you here some PP with DDT, power preaching with devil-destroying theology. My name is Jesse Romero, Dr. Dan Schneider. Dan, I want to move towards now the second aspect of the diabolical that we're really dealing with here in our country, and it's the whole abortion holocaust. And I'm reminded of a quote that St. Maximilian Kolbe gave. He said, "Modern times are dominated by Satan and will be more so in the future." I want to just bring your attention to this one article from LifeSite. It's called "Satanic Temple Offers Religious Abortion Ritual to Affirm Mother Killing Her Child." And here's some excerpts from the article. It says, from some time now, the Satanic Temple, headquartered in Salem, Massachusetts, due to the witch trial connection, has been campaigning for abortion. So you got the Satanists now that are, they're abortion lobbyists now. It says, the article, Lucian Greaves, their creepy-looking leader of the Satanic Temple in Salem, Massachusetts, has turned his organization into a military vehicle of the culture war. And he responded on Twitter to the effect that he was pleased with this characterization. He says, the Satanic Temple has been attempting to utilize religious liberty laws in its favor, demanding equal access to schools for Satanism, and claiming that restricting abortion violates its members' religious freedom. So now the Satanic Temple is going even further in its campaign for unrestricted abortion by officially declaring abortion a formal satanic abortion ritual. I don't think there's a coincidence that they use those terms. And the satanic abortion ritual provides spiritual comfort and affirms bodily autonomy, self-worth, and freedom from coercive forces with the affirmation of the temple of Satan's seven tenets. The ritual's not intended to convince a person to have an abortion. Instead, it sanctifies the abortion process by instilling confidence and protecting bodily rights when undergoing the safe and scientific procedure. And it finally says here, laws that violate satanic right to kill one's offspring in the womb include mandatory waiting periods, counseling prior to abortion, compulsory burial of fetal remains, required reading materials, listening to the baby's heartbeat, and any other practice designed to dissuade a woman or otherwise remind her of her baby's life and humanity. All of this is to conform to what they refer to as their personal affirmation mantra, which is, my body, my blood, but by my will, it is done. So there's no mention is made of the blood of the child, which is what is shed during an abortion. Dan, the highest prayer for Catholics is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, where we believe that the once and for all sacrifice of Calvary is made present in the eternal now of sacred time and being offered to God the Father. And this is why the priest raises up the body of Christ and the blood of Christ in the Holy Eucharist and in the chalice with the blood of Jesus. To us, this is the highest form of worship. This is what the Bible would call worshiping God in spirit and in truth. The Satanists seem to have their own form of worship. Am I on to something? They're even calling abortion a ritual. They're not just saying a procedure, a ritual. That's a liturgical religious term. And they're admitting this. Lucian Greaves, this leader of the Church of Satan, He's calling this an abortion ritual. And so my question to you, Dan, is there a parallel experience here to what we as Catholics do at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the abortion industry? That's my first question.
Well, absolutely. I think this has been shown in their very language. At least they're being consistent in their inversion of all things sacred and Catholic. The very mantra of LaVey and Satanism is "Do what thou will." Do what thou will versus what was Christ's ultimate ultimate prayer of surrender in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. And then Christ's words, this is my body, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, we see echoed in this pararitual, satanic pararitual, where it says my body, my blood, my will becomes an offering, not to God the Father, but to Satan. And this becomes a bloody, whereas the sacrifice of Calvary at the Mass is an unbloody representation of Christ's offering. This becomes a blood sacrifice or a bloody sacrifice, ritualistically performed. This is straight evil stuff. I mean, if this doesn't inspire us to think, how can we, you know, how can someone criticize Coach Holtz for saying this person is a Catholic in name only, and you support unrestricted shedding of the most innocent of blood? It's diabolic, and it's seductive, alluring that 40-45% of this country is going to vote for it anyway. It just shows you how evil can just take over
and blind people. It has a blinding effect. Evil has a blinding effect.
There was a priest in archdiocese of I believe it was in Boston that came out and said, I'm pro-choice just like Joe Biden, and we're both good Catholics. I mean, it's he eventually got corrected, but this is disgusting that there are priests of the living God that would support people like this, or bishops of the living God. There needs to be some purification, because we have to get back to the very basics. We're looking at the foundation. You know, we're doing a DNA or a microscopic look at the DNA structure behind the abortion movement, behind the anarchy, the so-called protest. You know, they're not protest. This is straight anarchy. This is, you know, lawlessness is what it is. So we're looking at what's behind it is, you know, the fallen human nature exploited by a diabolic that's constantly working against the living God.
Dan, let me ask you a question. We know that at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, what's being projected from that altar from the Holy Eucharist is sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace, it's shooting out just like microwaves or radio waves. It's just going throughout the air, sanctifying and setting and healing people and bringing people to conversion. So my question is, on the spiritual realm, what do you think, what's your understanding? Have you talked to other people, other experts? What is projected every time a baby is killed? Is it like anti-sanctifying grace? You know, does it conjure up more demons? Does it make them stronger? Does it make them more vicious? What happens in the spiritual realm with these daily bloods? Something has to happen.
Yeah, no. In the diabolic realm, this is seen as blood sacrifice. If we think about the number of abortions that have taken place since COVID started, the CDC just put some numbers out, and I don't want to get into big arguments about COVID, which, by the way, I find interesting. My body, my choice doesn't apply to mandatory face masks. So since COVID, the CDC numbers about 150,000 COVID related deaths in the US, 150,000 actual COVID deaths that were 100% had no other connection, just straight deaths due to COVID, was only 9,200. Which is pretty incredible. How many abortions have taken place on a daily basis since the COVID has started? So this is, you know, and how much of the government and how many states and municipalities closed down businesses but let abortion clinics stay open? This shows you the relationship. We need to be very cautious about about the people that we look at as our moral leaders, our political leaders. We have to hold them accountable, because what this is a blood sacrifice. This is murder. This is snuffing out the life, an innocent life in a womb. We've been saying this from the beginning. Life begins at conception. We know this. They've even conceded that argument. They just fell into the my body, my choice. And now the natural progression is my body, my choice. Do what thou wilt. This is my body. Listen to those words. This is my body. That's the words of Christ now being used to offer, as a mantra behind the abortive movement and committing, and let's just call it what it is, committing murder. People don't like to hear this language. This is very difficult language. There's a great priest out there, Father Pavone. There's a great priest, Stephen Imbarato. These are fearless men. I mean, these are guys that are going to Republican
Father,
and Democrat.
Father Altman, have you seen that priest?
Another one. Yeah, these guys are fearless. These guys are true warriors. They'll hold up, and they've been criticized for organizing protests and holding up images of aborted babies in front of politicians' houses. And it really makes them mad, or political activists behind the politicians, Republican and Democrat alike, to let them see the reality of what's going on, the inconvenient truth of what really is happening behind the scenes. So, yeah, in the diabolic realm, this is just pure giddiness. This is just pure power, empowerment. It brings empowerment as in the same manner that the Holy Eucharist brings empowerment. How the bringing grace into the world. This is an anti-sacrament and an anti-grace moment for society and a culture, particularly in the life of the individual who commits the sin.
Dan, you just quoted Father Pavone. I got a quote from here. I just brought up a Father Pavone. He says this. Look at how brave this priest is. He writes, "The modern Democrat Party does not know the difference between serving the public and killing the public." You talk about a straight talker. I mean, this is there's no mincing words with this priest here.
Yeah, go ahead. Chesterton said that man can be blind to anything so long as it's big enough. And we become, in our culture across the world, we've become blind to this, where we have actresses bragging about how many abortions that they've had. Etc. I mean, it's again, we can be blind to something so long as it's big enough. This is one of those instances, I think.
I want to just talk about this. There was a priest years ago that wrote a book on abortion, Father Eitenauer, and he made a connection between the modern abortion industry, the way they offer their ritual blood sacrifice, to the ancient abortion demon. And he shows a way. It's a demonic religion in every single way. Yeah, we'll touch on that. I want you to comment on that, the way he pretty much demonstrates that they're trying to do a parallel religion of the one true church. You're listening to Jesus 911, two-man car, Soul Patrol. This is the UFC Ultimate Faithful Catholics. Join us. We'll be right back. Jesus is Lord.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, more DDT, devil-destroying theology. Hey, especially men, wake up every single morning giving Satan a 21-gun salute and fire off prayers every morning. Fire off the rosary into the cosmos. Fire off the divine mercy. Give Satan a 21-gun salute. Got Dr. Dan Schneider here. Dan, Father Aitner years ago, he wrote the way that there's a demonic parallel with the whole abortion industry. He says, it has its sacred dogma, choice. Two, its ruling hierarchy, Planned Parenthood. Three, it's theologians, feminist ideologues. Four, it's sacrificing priesthood, abortionists. Five, it's temples, abortion mills. Six, it's altars, surgical tables. Seven, it's ritual victims, primarily babies and secondarily women. Eight, it's acolytes and sacristans, clinical workers and death escorts. Nine, it's congregations, all supporters of abortion. And 10, its own unifying principle of sacramental grace, money. In short, he writes, the abortion industry is a perfect demonic system which offers a perverse form of worship to the devil. Comment, what say you, Dan?
Yeah, I was thinking of this morning. The first reading, the office of readings, is from Jeremiah 19 and 20. And Jeremiah, you know, like all good prophets, was not the most liked guy in the world. And he said, the Lord said, this says the Lord, go buy a potter's earthen flask, you know, smash the flask, etc. Why? Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I'm going to bring such evil upon this place that all who hear of it will feel their ears tingle. This is because they have forsaken me and alienated this place by burning in it incense to strange gods, which neither they nor their fathers knew. The kings of Judah have filled this place with the blood of the innocent. They have built high places for Baal to immolate their sons in fire as holocaust to Baal. Such a thing as I have never commanded nor spoke of, nor did it ever enter into my mind. We see this even, you and I have discussed many times, Our Lady of Guadalupe and now Santa Muerte, which is an absolute distortion. Instead of the new Eve, the mother of the living, we now have a satanic version of Santa Muerte, holy death. A complete inversion of the mother of God. And now the same thing with the blood sacrifice of Christ. Human sacrifices were taking place. The descriptions of what was going on when the Lady of Guadalupe appeared in Mexico was gruesome, the number of daily blood sacrifices taking place to the false gods of their religion at the time, which are not unlike what Israel was doing back in the Old Testament. These guys just recycle form and shape in different cultures. So we must power back with true devotion to the Blessed Mother. We must go to her. I think you'll find it fascinating. You have a religious sister holding up a rosary, calling this her weapon, or her response. And then you have the Ave Maria being sung at the behest of the president, standing president of the United States. This is a call from our secular leaders to go back to the Mother of Jesus, to go back to her, to whom this country has been consecrated, the Immaculate Conception. I would encourage two things. That our listeners should read St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion to Mary, true devotion to Mary, and devote yourself, consecrate yourself to her. She will show you how you can enter into the fight and how you can play your part in your family and in society. Second, Terry Barber, I saw in the trailer, is helping to promote this Fatima movie, which just released this weekend. Support it. Download it, pay for it. It's not that expensive. Watch the movie, not just watch the movie and support the movie, but learn the message, live the message. And so, I think Father Eitenhauer was spot on his analysis. I think since then, a lot of people have starting to see the connection. And now we're, with a reduced power of the church, less masses, less sacraments taking place in our society, we're seeing that the Satanists now are becoming more emboldened. Before it was kind of behind the scene, it was understood, but now they're coming out and saying, yeah, this is exactly what this is. This is a sacrifice and we appreciate the blood, and here's how you can consecrate your body, your choice. Just say the words, this is my body, this is my blood. Mockery of the blood sacrifice of Calvary and mockery of the unbloody sacrifice of Christ at the Holy Mass and the Eucharist. I mean, but again, the response is not one of fear and anxiety. We should be of good cheer. We should be hopeful. Our Lady has already is bringing about the new age of Mary, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. We have to keep praying for a true revolution of holiness in this country and in our society.
Dan, when is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin in the timeline, as your understanding? Obviously, it's before the second coming of Christ. Is it going to be, before the Antichrist, during the Antichrist, after the Antichrist? Is there any timeline to the promises of Mary to St. Louis de Montfort of the reign of Mary?
No, I think there's speculation among Mariologists in particular on the timeline. I don't think anyone truly knows, for obvious reasons, that Christ himself, neither the Son, only the Father in heaven, knows the time and the hour. And I think a lot of it, I think there's wisdom in that. A lot of it will depend on the prayers of the faithful. It's going to depend on our prayers. As she said in Fatima, pray the rosary daily so that worse may not happen. The errors of communism may not spread. And Sister Lucia said at the time, could the spread happen if the consecration doesn't take place of Russia? Can even the United States fall into the errors of Marxism? And Our Lady answered her, yes, even the United States. At the time, think about this. This is 100 years ago. It was unthinkable that a country like the United States could fall into the errors of Marxism, and the question even gets raised then, yes, even these errors will spread to the U.S. because, again, is this bizarre, alluring simplicity of it that draws people into it. But as for the timeline, nobody knows. The speculation, I think, Dr. Mark Miravalli and others that I would tend to agree with, I mean, that I do agree with, and that is, we know the marks of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. Her message is a return to the practice, the traditional practice of the Catholic faith. Her message has been the same throughout the world and different approved apparitions. Pray, fasting, make sacrifices, mass, rosary, Eucharistic devotion. And so the triumph of the Immaculate Heart is going to be a restoration of a Eucharistic-centered spirituality, that the Eucharist now becomes the true center of the spiritual life of the Catholic world, and hence through that the entire world returns to her Eucharistic Son. This is what I understand the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, the essence of it. As for when it's going to be, I wouldn't dare make a speculation of it.
Dan, is there a connection between communist Marxism, the abortion industry? Is there a nexus?
I think so. I think obviously abortion, the average, I remember, these are older statistics, but the average Russian woman had something like 5 or 6 abortions. It just became normative for their culture. And so I think there absolutely is, because you see the real knee-jerk push against Trump and against this administration is for the so-called right of abortion, for a woman to choose an abortion. And this seems to be the central issue. Other things are secondary to it. So I think abortion is a central issue, which is very interesting, because both sides are vying for Catholic votes. They're vying for that because they know that it's on ultimately at the end of the day, it's going to be Catholics living their faith, voting their faith, and practicing it daily in the public sphere. That's where the true revolution is going to come into this world, or darkness is going to continue to overcome us because Catholics have given in and now become, you know, Coach Holtz, Catholics in name only. I don't want to be a Catholic in name only. I want to be a Catholic. I want to say this guy died a Roman Catholic and did everything he could to help bring souls in to the glory of God and to honor the Blessed Mother.
Amen. You've been listening to Jesus 911 Soul Patrol. We've been giving you some DDT, devil-destroying theology. We need to stay informed. We need to live in a state of grace. As Sister Didi says, grab your weapon, the rosary, and pray it. This is a woman who's a medical doctor and had no shame in grabbing the rosary and showing it to the entire world. I think 121 million people are watching and saying, grab your weapon and pray it. And for those of us that understand and know what the church teaches, be a source of information to others. Give people moral clarity. The next generation is counting on you to stand up for Jesus, to lift high the cross of Christ, and to give them the gospel and moral clarity. And also, don't panic, okay? Remember the words of St. Faustina. Let those words be burned in your heart. What are they? Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Let those words be burned in our heart. Dan, final comments?
Yeah, Padre Pio, similarly, pray, trust, don't worry. We have to put our trust in God. We have to know that this is all part of the wheat and the weeds growing together, but we have to do our part. Lay Catholics need to start in their homes, create Catholic homes, echo the words of Joshua, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And then our work, whatever we do, Sister Didi had said, I had just prayed, if there's anything you want me to do to help bring about the truth, to help save souls, etc. She prayed this prayer, and the next thing you know, this former Army colonel, medical surgeon, is now speaking in front of the whole world watched her speak, and she gave a powerful pro-life message and a message of faith. I believe in all lives matter, but especially eternal life is, you know, so leading souls in that way, and whatever sphere God puts us in. Remember, the charism of the laity is secular in nature. So we take care of our households. This is where grace flows into us. And if God puts us into other realms of society, whether it's politics, legal sphere, school, whatever, be a Catholic in that environment. Be Christ in that environment. Live a sacrificial. What was yesterday's second reading? Do not conform to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Make your body a living sacrifice. This is what this is how the sisters of Compiègne broke the back of the French Revolution. Their bodies became an ultimate living sacrifice for Christ. We're not hopefully being called to that, but we're called to the spiritual martyrdom, to grow in holiness and combat the evil in our own little lane. Wherever your lane is, wherever God has put you, you stay there and fight.
Amen. You've been listening to Jesus 911, where Jesus Christ is Lord, and the Blessed Virgin Mary is the Queen Mother. Hey, our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't need fans. He needs followers. Jesus Christ doesn't need cheerleaders. He needs gladiators. You've been listening to MMA Catholicism, Mother Mary's Army, Dr. Dan Jess Romero, two-man car. We'll see you next time. Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands on Apologetics, coming to you from the Midwest Command Center. That's a wrap. We're 10-7. We're out.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.